SN, Hot to Trot. Welcome to the Good Form Panel.
And g'day from JT. My thanks to Brett McLaughlin. Job well done in Friday follow. Macca, we have a good card of racing tomorrow night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. And we've got the dynamic duo in the house. Boys, how are you?
Very good, thanks, JD. Obviously, we're still coming down.
JD.
Hang on, what microphone are you on there, Bonners?
Lucky.
Are you on number four? Speak now.
Lucky didn't go on air.
Am I on there?
Yes, you are.
Try that again, Bonners.
It's JT, wasn't it?
I reckon you said JD.
I'm sure you said JD.
The problem is we can't roll the tape back because your microphone was off.
No, we'll have to review it in the post-production meeting.
I don't know that we can. The microphone wasn't up.
No. No, we'll probably heard it here in the background.
Yeah. Looks like I've been sold it anyway.
Guys, congratulations to all at HRV and Melton for just a fantastic day of racing. There were so many highlights, but I have to say, and it's probably a little weak of me, but Menengate was my highlight. That horse is an absolute freak.
He's a bull. He's a monster.
That's what you want. For anybody who saw Larry Eastman's pre-race interview, he talked about it as though it was a heavyweight boxing match. We're just going to launch. We're going to keep punching. We will not be denied the lead. And once we get the lead, they won't run past us. And that's how it turned out. And that's the beauty of the horse. He matches Larry Eastman so well, the bush hero now, I guess, a man who's been in the trade for 30 years or so and is only now getting his Group 1 winners with this horse and also Moreton Plains. But the horse is just he's a throwback in many ways, isn't he, Blake?
Yeah.
I guess Smoking Up is one in recent history where we can compare him to a horse who you can get close to, but once he sees you, just as he saw My Kiwi Mate, he goes again. He digs deep. So he's already got iconic status after four Group 1s this season, but there's plenty more to come because I think he's only going to mature. He's a really big horse. He's still quite rangy and green. And if he gets better, there's going to be a lot of fun for these Birchett boys.
Yep, I agree. And they had a lot of fun on the weekend. No doubt they'll have plenty more because
they're getting too used to it.
Aren't they? Maybe they're not enjoying it as much
now. They did shout the bar.
Did they?
They shouted the bar at Tabcorp Park. I'm not sure for how long, but they're headed off to Perth now, so that'll be very interesting. They're going to go there for the big four-year-old races during that massive carnival, the McInerney Ford Classic and the Golden Nugget in particular will be their major goals. And let me tell you, if you like your trots and you don't mind a drink either, get over to Perth and I'm sure the boys will be pretty happy to do the same thing over there if Menengate can get the job done.
And surprisingly on track, they bet the luxurious odds of $3.90, Menengate. Now, you mentioned old-fashioned trotter. Now, he's of the ilk of a Pure Steel, Koala King, Paleface Adios. There's nothing pretty about him. He's in for the stoush. He's in for the fight. He could get to any status in his career because he seems to be such a strongly put together horse.
But this is what I think we sometimes get a little bit frustrated with, I guess, on the inside. As people say there's no place for these horses anymore. They say sprint lanes and 1,000-metre tracks and all this means that the old warrior can no longer survive.
I think that was put to the sword on Sunday, mate.
It had to be because
Follow the Stars had his chance.
Absolutely.
He had his chance to run him down. He could not.
This horse, Menengate, is as we say, an old-fashioned warrior. He is quick, no doubt about it. You've still got to run a fast last half, but all those horses you've just mentioned all had terrific speed as well.
Mm.
But they were warriors. Gamelite, another one you might throw into the mix. But there's a number of them. And look, Menengate's got a long way to go to really, I guess, be compared to some of these champions.
Yeah.
But he started in the right way, and you know that he's going to be a late bloomer. He's going to get better and better. No doubt Larry Eastman's going to look after him. He's already talking about missing the Chariots of Fire, going to Perth and pulling back, missing the Chariots of Fire if they have to, and then going again for some of the four-year-old races, your Vic Bred Super Series and your Breeders' Crowns, I would suggest. But it's a big moment. It's a big, I guess, era now for Larry Eastman, and he's going to have to look after the horse. But you're dead right. I think that he could go to any sort of status, the kind of horse that he is.
Well, he's a really interesting case study because he hasn't necessarily had to sit parked in a big race yet and absolutely drill him into the turf. He's been able to find the front just due to the fact that he's the best horse there and he can run along. I'd say he's probably close to the fastest horse in Australia to run a full 800 metres. So not just sprint a quarter, but he can run 800 metres in really, really quick splits. So he doesn't sprint 200 metres, but he sprints 800 and he holds his speed.
I actually think he can sprint 1,200.
Yep.
And I hearken, if we're going to compare him to a thoroughbred horse in my lifetime, the difference between other horses and Might and Power, who I believe is the best horse I've seen in my short time of watching racing, having not followed it as closely over the last 4 or 5 years, he could run at his highest cruising speed for so long, and that's what Menengate's able to do, and that's why Follow the Stars was never going to really try and hold him out. And Blake has to be given kudos because he told us last week there's no way they'll be trying to hold Menengate out if he puts a foot to the floor, and that's what happened. Mark Purden, too clever, too smart, looking at his horse Follow the Stars, who's no big bull, looking at Menengate and saying, we are going to get eaten alive here if we try and go with him. We have to let him go.
And to be fair, after the race, we found out that Follow the Stars pulled up with an issue. So I think he's maybe torn a tendon. Mark thought that might have happened during the race. There's no excuse for being beaten. He was still very good in second, but something to keep in mind at least.
I was in the stabling area when Follow the Stars was being... the gear was being put on, and I'm not sure whether one of the Purdens was saying he was a bit grumpy in the lead up to the race, but it was coming good. You know, once they put the gear on, it's game on. But you're quite right, guys, about the size difference and the constitution makeup. If I can use the term feminine, Follow the Stars is more feminine in his constitution. That doesn't mean he's an absolute gun, but Menengate is just a big.
He's a boy.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy, and he's just, if you come out and have a crack at me, I'm going to have a crack straight back.
And this was what was so great. It probably didn't go on long enough, the rivalry between Smoking Up and I'm the Mighty Quinn, but it's the last great rivalry, not only because they were the two best horses of their era, and I'm saying they came after your Blacks of Fakes and Mr. Feelgoods, really, but such different horses.
Mm.
Smoking Up, big, strong, brutal. I'm the Mighty Quinn, small, lightly put together, sit sprinter and the quickest you could ever possibly see. I don't think I've ever seen a horse as fast as I'm the Mighty Quinn. Obviously, Popular Arm, they say, is the fastest of all time, but I'm the Mighty Quinn would rival him. Such different horses, and that's why I think people really wanted this rivalry too. Unfortunately, maybe it's come to an impasse for a couple of reasons. Follow the Stars has probably been proven to be an inferior horse. It's going to be hard to build that rivalry again because of what Menengate's done to him and, of course, the tendon issue. But Menengate's got plenty of good horses to rival. Bodine Boaz will be over there in Perth, and he will have to sit parked over there.
Yeah.
The way they drive at Gloucester Park, there's no lead for you. I don't care if you're 22 hands. I don't care if you're holy roller, you're not getting the lead over at Gloucester Park. So he'll have to prove himself again there.
Yep.
And then, of course, probably no doubt the best three-year-old in Australasia, now four-year-old. Have faith in me. They're going to clash at some stage too, so plenty to look forward to.
All right, guys, let's have a good look at the meeting at Tabcorp Park, Melton, tomorrow night. We've got the Casey Classic at Group 3 and the True Roman Trotters Free For All also at Group 3. 10 races. First goes 5:32. Early scratching is number 2. Let's bounce the ball. Bonners, who's going to win race 1?
Probably Living It, Loving It. Look, he's been a terrific claimer for some time, and for those who are uninitiated, of course, the claiming race is unique to harness racing in this part of the world. They do a lot of it in the thoroughbreds in North America. There's a price tag on every horse's head. You can buy Living It, Loving It for $12,000. Tomorrow night, and he should be winning this. He's done a great job for the new claiming king. He's only a young man, Bo Tyndale, but he's done an extraordinary job with a number of claimers, and Living It, Loving It's arguably been his headline horse. He'll have to do a little bit of work over the 17:20. It's never nice to be drawn the second line over the short course at Melton, but it's a thin race. Most of these heats are thin races for winning hopes. Only dangers for mine. Number 2, Rumsron, who's a brilliant beginner, might try and lead all the way. Number 5, Paleface Jasper, who brings South Australian form across. And maybe Lander Penarm, who's a very well-travelled animal, but most recently has been racing in South Australia. But look, I think if they're all close to their best, Blake, Living It, Loving It will be winning.
Can't disagree with that. I think Living It, Loving It is certainly the horse to beat. I think it's pretty wide open for second and third. You've mentioned Rumsron. I throw in Our Horizon. He's full of running, even give us a grin at big odds. But in terms of winning chances, I probably don't want to launch on him if he's going to start into the red, but couldn't agree more that he's the horse to beat still.
Second race is the second heat of the battle of the claimers. No scratchings. Do I see a one next to Conte Centavalli's name? How did that happen, Blake Redden?
Good question, but after a string of placings, was able to get the win up and comes over to Victoria to try and take on this claiming series. I think it's an interesting race where a lot of the class, due to the nature of the preferential barrier draw, has drawn out the back, which makes it a little bit tougher, but I think Mighty Mav probably deserves to go on top. There's not a lot between himself and Dodge the Bullet. Matty Kravitz gave Mighty Mav a pretty good pump up on gate speed during the week. So in terms of that, he's probably remaining the horse to beat. Dodge the Bullet got back to winning form in a very soft race last time at Geelong, but even from the outside of the second row, has a bit of class about it. The Dip, again, drawn the second row, inside of the second row, with a little bit of luck, will be in the finished. And then Our Mel's Dream off the front row is probably the one you want from there. But Bonners, I don't think it's clear-cut. I think you have a bit of a stronger opinion that Mighty Mav is certainly the one to beat.
Yeah, I definitely think he's the one to beat. Strange to almost see him here, actually, because he's a horse on the up. We normally equate the claimers to being synonymous with maybe on the way down after a good career, but Mighty Mav's still on the way up. He's probably the one I'd just about buy if you had the funds available out of this claiming series, although it's hard to claim one off Matty Craven at the moment because there's no trainer going better than him. I have got him on top, clearly on top. Again, the second line draw, but as Blake mentioned, that's what you have to put up with under the preferential system. Number 8, The Dip. Back with Glenn Douglas now. Was doing a great job up at Menangle. Was luckless last start in a stronger race at this course. I give him some sort of chance. This is a little bit more of a wide open heat, though. I'd include that South Australian veteran, Conte Centervalli, into the mix. Should be leading in the early stages at least. Dodge the Bullet's got ability. Probably has to be safe for one run, though. Normally a front of the field horse drawn outside the second line is going to make things a little tricky for him. And now Mel's Dream is struggling to break through, but another in the Beau Tyndale team who's been going well enough. So Mighty Mav, clear on top selection, but three or four horses there you might want to include for your wider multiple investments.
All right, on to race number 3, guys, which is a trot. That's over the sprint 17:20. Early scratching is horse number 3. Jace, who's going to win?
Blue Sky Commander's going to win, I believe. We're not a million miles off the Australian, or Victorian, I should say, Horse of the Year awards in the harness racing industry, and I dare say Blue Sky Commander will get a nomination in the three-year-old square gating category. Did a terrific job. Was placed in a lot of big races. The South Australian Trotters Derby, the Victorian Trotters Derby, and also the home field. Takes on an okay field here, but there's really only two horses that are any sort of threat at all. Miss Noel clearly has ability, has won 3 from 5. And the Caldo team is going really well again at the moment. And better hand over to Cash, who, like Blue Sky Commander, is a former native New Zealander who's come over here and done a really good job winning a few races. We're second to Amarula at this course 2 starts back. But, look, Blue Sky Commander is a very, very good horse, I think, and one that's only getting better. And I expect, Blake, even over the 1720 again, with a trouble-free run and no breaking stride, he'll be too good for them.
Probably. I'm just going to lean away a little bit because I think it's even between the top 2 or 3. I've got a huge opinion of Better Hand Over to Cash. I think it's a nice horse on the way up. Of course, the former Kiwi. But from the second row, I don't think there's a lot between them. Blue Sky Commander is probably going to start a lot shorter, so I'd lean to Better Hand Over to Cash. Miss Noel, as you say, is loaded with ability. She's trialled really well, but she missed a run last week. I spoke to John Caldo during the week, and he suggested she will need this. She just came down with a bit of a cold or a bit of a bug, and she's coming good again, but she will need this run. So I'd just take her down a little bit of a notch, elevate the other two up, say Better Hand Over to Cash is the one to beat Blue Sky Commander. Outside of those, I think you can pretty much play anything to run third and fourth in your multiples because it's a very tough race outside of the Class 3. But for me, at a little bit of value, John, I'm going with Better Hand Over to Cash.
Okay, Better Hand Over to Cash, horse 9 there for the Turnbulls. On to race 4, this is the third heat of the claimers. Guys, field of 9. Blake?
Yeah, again, I find it a pretty tough race to sort out, but Electric Ollie, Jace has already mentioned Beau Tyndale, low flying at the minute. This horse has been really good in claiming grade of recent times, running around against stablemates, living it, loving it, and the like, and I think this is probably a race where he can get away from those. He's drawn the front row, maybe push forward at the start, and if that's the case, I think at an each-way price, he's certainly one you have to throw into the mix. Inky Cullen and Maywind Storm are the same level, perhaps the next bracket below him, but they're both going quite well. Inky Cullen, his best, is certainly the best horse in the race. It's just a matter of whether he can get back to that from the second row. But a pretty tough race. I think outside of those three, you again have to play quite wide and almost anything can run a place. But in terms of winning chances, they probably see it out. And I'm going with Electric Ollie. Jace, do you have an opinion on the three?
The defending champion I'm going with, Maywind Storm. I thought it's run off the second line. Now, this is a horse who's a born leader, blistering beginner. It's run off the second line to finish third behind Saint Flash last time out. Was really good for mine. I think, even with the speed drawn inside it, if Gavin Lang puts the foot down, and it's not really his normal style to get too aggressive at the start, but if he can put his foot down and find the front, I think he'll run them along and be too tough. Electric Ollie and Inky Cullen are obviously the dangers. Inky Cullen is the class horse. He's clearly not the animal we remember from his earlier stages. I think he won about maybe 13 or 14 in a row, or something close to that, or 14 of his first 15.
Yes, yep.
Might have been beaten by the really good other brawn horse,
Chancellor
Cullen in a graduate. Yep. But apart from that, just a just a terrific horse he was as a younger horse at Inky Cullen. He's clearly gone off the ball to a degree, but he's been racing much, much, much better horses, and it wouldn't be surprise anyone at all, I don't think, if he just stalked them in transit and then went straight past them in the lane. And Electrical, he's a really tough customer, and Bo Tyndale's getting the best out of him at the moment, as I mentioned, he's doing with all of his claimers. So if you're playing at those early quarters, I think they're the only three you need to include, and then you're out to horses like Braymore and the evergreen Mr. Douglas, who turned 16 the other day.
16.
So sweet 16 for Mr. Douglas. He's almost older than Blake, and he's going around. This is in some ways, some people would want to tell you, oh, this is wrong, you can't have a horse going around. I'm telling you right now, he's racing in as good a form now as he has for the past two or three seasons.
Correct. How many starts has he had in his career?
I'm going to say close to 300.
I'll look it up right now for the team.
Blake will look it up. But you saw it with Destraos the other day, JT. He broke a record up there in Albion Park at start 330 or something like that. He went around in the Gold Coast Inter Dominion that Mr. Feelgood beat Blacks a Fake in those controversial circumstances. Kidding. Auckland Reactor was also up there as a four-year-old. So Destraos was running through the heats of that Inter Dominion, and he's still running blistering times in Queensland now. Blake, usually very, very good technologically speaking.
Just solving the capture at the minute on harness.org.au. So I can solve the capture and...
Has it got cabbages in it?
There's no cabbages in this capture solver. But would you believe tomorrow night will be Mr. Douglas' 299th start in a race?
He's lightly raced for a 16-year-old.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well done. Well done to the crew, because he must give his connections a lot of fun. And if he's a happy horse enjoying it, why not?